ask you to open up your Bible to Psalm chapter 57. That's right, 57. I'm not going to lie, I had an espresso right before. My mom would call it a Holy Ghost espresso. That if you add Holy Ghost in front of something, then it makes it spiritual, right? All right, Holy Ghost Big Mac, Holy Ghost Taco Bell. I think there's limits on that, right? It doesn't apply to everything. But I had an espresso, so I'm feeling pretty good, all right? We're going to talk about tonight a topic and a subject that is so familiar to this church. You're going to look at me funny when I tell you what it is, but it's such an overwhelmingly important word. We're going to use, it's one word, but it's such an overwhelmingly important word when it comes to your walk with Jesus and you living for the Lord. It's, you know, it's a word that hooks us up to God through Jesus. All right? It's a word that we could spend every single service for the rest of the year preaching on, and you would not even begin to scratch the surface. And in this church, you think you could, or you think you already have, because you've heard about this word and heard about this topic so many different times. We all think we've got it worked out and figured out, but I promise you, you don't, because there are men way smarter, way more spiritual than I, you and I, who have spent their entire lives studying this topic, and they say they've just begun to scratch the surface. And this is a powerful thing, all right? And if you're watching online, here's my question. How many of you really, I mean really, want to be closer to God? All right? I believe that about you midweek worshipers. Y'all come here, and you really want to be closer to God. I don't want to dismiss all of those who are not here, but I'm going to. I'm just joking. Not joking. All right? No, listen, we all want to be closer to God. I would also add to that, how many of you want more direction from God, all right? I know I really do. I'm not just here because I'm preaching, and, you know, I really want to be closer to God. I really want more direction for God. I really want more revelation of God's word in my life so I can live right. I want to be led by more, all right? Everything, all of this hangs on one word. One word. All of it is based on this one word, all right? And the Bible teaches us, and I'm about to give it away. This is a big clue. The Bible teaches us that there's only one way to actually please God. And it comes through this one word. How many of you know what I'm talking about right now? You can yell it out. I'm not going to call on you. Faith! That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about faith. It's the number one way to please God. But listen, and this is the part that you don't hear much about. But it's also the number one way to displease God. A lack of faith. Right? We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. I think it's going to help you. Without faith, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God, all right? Not going to church, that's not what doesn't please God. Although going to church is a good thing, I'm glad that you're here, but that's not it. Should you come to church? Yes. I will tell you this, though. I know all kinds of people that go to church and they don't have any faith. Or at least they have a little bit of faith, all right? Because just coming to church doesn't also mean you have faith, all right? How many of you know some people that could use a little bit more faith and they've been coming to church for years? All right, just going to church doesn't mean you have faith. And it's a good thing to be at church, all right? Too many people come to church nowadays to satisfy some guilt in their life, as opposed to coming to church to grow in their faith to get closer to Jesus. It's the truth, all right? Not throwing stones at them. I'm glad they're here because at least they're here to hear the word of God and allow God to move a little bit. But the truth of the matter is that's not the real reason they're coming, all right? What pleases God is faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's not random church attendance. It's not all these things. It's faith in God, all right? God's also not up in heaven, you know, watching you during a worship service going, I wonder if they sang that song just perfectly. Josh missed the word holy during that worship song. Nope, not blessing him today. It's not how he works either, okay? He's not double-checking everybody's worship and everybody's style and, oh, you were off key, you know, you're worship is unholy. I don't know. He's not doing that, though, okay? That's not what pleases God. The Bible teaches what pleases God is faith. What makes God happy is what? It's faith. Is it anything else? It's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, all right? Faith is everything. If you are one of those kind of people who write in your Bible, you should write that underneath your name in the very front page. Faith is everything. Because everything you do in this book is based and founded on faith in God. Nothing in this book will work for you without faith. Your love won't work without faith. Your peace won't work without faith. Nothing works in this book without faith. That's why God says faith pleases me. Faith releases everything I want to do in your life. It only comes through faith. Anything I'm going to do in you, for you, with you, it comes through how? Faith. That's why this is so important. This is why if you've ever gotten a little faith weary and you've thought, oh, another faith message at a faith church. I've heard this one before. Oh, you better cut that one out. You better shut that down quick. Because I promise you, if we were to break down you and I on where we're pleasing God and where we're living by faith and where we're not pleasing God by not living by faith, you'd be very shocked and surprised at the results. All right? There is not a person, especially in this church, but across this world, that has perfected faith in God. None of us have. None of us will. This is something we should always strive for. All right? I had one guy say, man, Pastor preaches a lot on faith. And I was like, well, you've heard a lot of it. Why don't we let you preach since you apparently got it perfected? Well, I mean, I didn't say I had it perfected. Apparently you have. I'm going to follow you around the next 24 hours. I'm going to be your Holy Spirit. I'm going to point out everything you do wrong. He didn't like that. He left the church. I take responsibility for that. It happens. I was young. Faith is everything. It's refreshing having an honest pastor every once in a while, isn't it? I'm not perfect, but I'm okay with that. You know, if I don't preach with faith, I'm not pleasing God. If I'm just up here to go through the notes and go through another message, I'm not pleasing God tonight. I want to help you, and I want you to grow in your faith. I'm not, first and foremost, I have to be here up here to please Him. So I've got to preach with faith. I've got to believe myself with faith. If you're just in here worshiping to go through the motions, to go through the service, you are not pleasing God with your worship. You could have the most beautiful, incredible voice, and it does not matter if you're not worshiping through faith. If you're not worshiping to actually grow and trust God and believe God, if it doesn't come through faith, it doesn't please Him. The biggest, most beautiful sounding choir in the world without faith, God's not interested in it. Isn't that crazy, right? Everything comes through faith in God, all right? Now listen to this. And this is going to mess with you, some of you a little bit, all right? Faith is everything. We've said that. But it's also the cause in a believer's life of every failure when it comes to our spiritual life in our lives. Every failure in our life up to this moment right here, right now, has come from somehow, some way, a lack of faith. It has. And I know we don't like to hear that because nobody likes to hear that we aren't perfect and that we failed, all right? Every wrong word, every wrong deed, all these things have happened somehow, some way, because we have, in that moment, stopped walking or living by faith. God knows that we're not going to be perfect, all right? That's why He gave us this word to help us and encourage us, all right? And God knows that there's an enemy out there attacking us, which is why He's equipped us with everything we need to overcome and have the victory, all right? But in a believer's life, whenever we slip up and we screw up and we mess up or we've got failures or different things, at that moment, our faith has slipped. That's how I know that nobody in here has perfected faith, because that would mean you also live perfect. And the Bible teaches that only one has lived with a perfect faith on this planet. How many of you are thankful that Jesus was the one who was perfect? That's it. So nobody has perfected it. Nobody will perfect it. We're imperfect people, but that's how this works, all right? But that's why faith is so important. The Bible teaches that the just shall live by what? Faith. The just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith. God's blessed by faith. He's happy by faith. The Bible teaches that Jesus Himself was amazed when He saw faith. When He saw faith in action, even from people who weren't necessarily believers, He was amazed by faith. How cool would it be that your faith amazed Jesus? It's one thing for our faith to amaze a person or a pastor or a neighbor or a friend, but wouldn't it be great for our faith to amaze Jesus? That Jesus went, that was pretty awesome. That's what faith does. Faith is everything, all right? Jesus said in another place, he said, when the Son of Man returns, he'll find faith on the earth. Faith, not religion, not just trying to live the good life, not just trying to be a better person, all right? That's not even in the Bible, all right? Fine, tell me where that is in the Bible. No, what pleases God is what? Faith. Living by faith. It's what brings us, according to the Apostle Peter, it's what brings us into the manifestation of the power of God. In other words, I begin to see God's power at work in my life when I am living by faith. You want more power in your life, more manifestation where God's power is actually at work? Then you've got to increase and grow in your faith. All right? Again, everything comes from faith. Faith is everything. What activates the power of God in my life? Faith, all right? It's that victorious faith, all right? The Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. It's so throughout Scripture, Old, New Testament. You cannot overstate the value and importance of you and I having a revelation of what it means to really live by faith. That's why I was praying this morning and I was asking God, what do I want to speak on? And God said, speak on faith. All right. I mean, we've got a pastor who's been preaching on faith for 40 years. I'll go for it. We'll see what we can come up with tonight, all right? The just shall live by faith. You're in Psalms 57. We're going to look in verses, probably starting with verse 4, all right? If you're there already, that's awesome. If you're turning there, while we're getting ready, I was thinking about the miracle of Jesus where he had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Y'all remember that story, right? The little boy had the 5 loaves, five loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus fed the people. And the Bible says that after Jesus fed the multitude and that miracle took place, that everybody followed him. The crowd started following Jesus. And after a while, Jesus looked at him and said, hey, it's great that you're following me, but you're not following me for the right reasons. You're following me because I gave you a free meal. Apparently, those fish sandwiches Jesus gave everybody were pretty awesome. They wanted more of them. Or they were just really hungry. And so they followed Jesus because of the free food. And he said, listen, you're following me for all the wrong reasons. And there's a lot of people right now that they're doing the same thing. They're coming to church in order to pacify. All right? They're coming to church in order to compensate for their lack of spiritual growth Monday through Saturday. And so they want church to be a supplement. They want church to give them that spiritual vitamin, and they want it to do everything for them in that 1 hour and a half time that they should be doing Monday, Tuesday through. They're not following Jesus for the right reasons. Now, they're getting their supplement. They're getting their fish sandwich, just like everybody else did. But Jesus looked at these people, and he said, listen, you're following me because I give you a physical food. But you need to be hungry for something that satisfies the soul and provides eternal life. There's a spiritual food. And they were all like, well, the fish sandwich is pretty good, but what do I need to do for this spiritual food? What do I need to do to get this? And I was reading this and it kind of dawned on me. I'm realizing more and more just how difficult it is for believers in 2019 to grasp hold of this revelation. Really. Of what it means to really live by faith. And I can't preach from a place of perfection up here. Nobody can. I can only preach from the revelation that I've got on this, and so that's what I believe I'm doing for you tonight, all right? But I know this. There are believers who have lived decades in this region especially. And we've even got some believers in this church who for decades have been coming to this church, all right, but never, ever actually cross over into that real faith mode. A lot of people still live in this works mode mentality where they're earning God's favor, earning God's blessing, earning everything that they've got, you know, they feel like they've got to work for it and they've not gotten that revelation of what it really means to live by faith, all right? What it means to walk by faith and what God really wants to do, okay? I mean, look, you've got Father Abraham. The Bible calls him the father of everybody, really, of all faith. Of everybody who's a believer. And the Bible says that God considered his faith for righteousness. Abraham had such great faith that God considered that an act of righteousness. That's a powerful thing. That's what Abraham did. And so that's why we're Christians today, okay? The reason why we're all here tonight, too, is because we have a faith on what pastor preached on Sunday morning, on the communion table, that we're set free because of the price of Jesus paid, because of his blood and his sacrifice. We have faith that what Jesus did covers our sins, cleanses our sins, gives us freedom. We have faith that it works in our life. It's all these things taking place. Our sins are washed away. How and why? Through our faith in Jesus. Everything comes from faith, all right? Remember, the disciples looked at Jesus and they said, Lord, would you increase our faith? Would you increase our faith? I've always found that interesting that the men who physically walked and lived with Jesus, watched him perform these miracles firsthand, eyewitnesses, even they had to say, Jesus, please increase our faith. I would think that if anybody had great faith, it'd be the guys who actually stood and watched Jesus do it. But even in that moment, they said, we know and we understand that our faith has to grow for us to be used by you in the greatest way possible. We can't be satisfied with where we're at in our walk of faith with the Lord. We've got to be striving, pressing forward, going deeper as much as possible so we can see the blessing of God as much as released as much as we can in our life, all right? Everything is based on faith. Again, I'm laying a foundation here, but even through the old covenant where you had Moses, the covenant of Moses and the law, all the way through the covenant of grace in the New Testament, all right? Jesus, it was all characterized by faith. All through faith, all right? Faith is so amazing. It's the most powerful force in the world, all right? Even if you pray, and is it a good thing to pray? Yeah, of course it's a good thing to pray, okay? Of course it's a good thing to pray. But I wrote this down. People say that that prayer is the most powerful force in the world, and there's a truth in that. Prayer, of course, is very important. It's very powerful. But listen to me. Unless you believe when you pray, unless you have faith when you pray, your prayer, although it's important to communicate with God, is powerless. So even your prayer is based on a faith. If you want prayers that are answered, now if you're just talking to God, great. Your faith exists in the sense that you're communicating with God and you believe that he hears you. But if you are requesting something from God, that prayer better be loaded up with some faith if you want it answered. All right? I look at this and I think, man, Lord, there's so much here. All right? Even Jesus said, when you pray, you've got to believe. All right? When you speak to a mountain, what have you got to do? Believe. That's faith. That's trust in God. All right? That's not trying. That's trusting. And there's a big difference. All right? And so a lot of our prayers, honestly, are out of habit. All right? Or they're kind of robotic, automatic prayers. All right? They really are. They're just, you know, you're in a moment, you say a quick prayer, and you don't think twice about it. But the reality is if you want a prayer that's answered, are you basing it on the Word of God? You know, I've had a lot of people come to me and they're praying and they're agreeing and they'll say, Pastor Josh, would you pray and agree with me? Of course, always. My first question to most people in that moment is, what scripture are you standing on? All right? And if you can't answer that question, you're not praying by faith. You're praying by hope. And there is a big difference. A big difference. Everything. Faith is everything, all right? And I can't overstate that much, all right? The Bible says that a specific kind of prayer is the one that heals the sick. Not just any kind of prayer, the prayer of faith will heal the sick, all right? Again, faith is everything, everything. So never have a moment in your walk with the Lord, or attending this church especially, we're a Word of Faith church, never get tired and weary of the faith message here. Even if you've heard pastor or myself or any other minister preach a message on faith from Mark 11 or whatever 100 times, don't you dare allow the enemy to steal a fresh revelation from that word. Don't let him do it, all right? Allow God to continuously renew that revelation in your heart so that your faith can stay strong or grow stronger. In Jesus' name. So we're looking at the life of David. Anybody heard of King David? We're going to talk about David. We talk about David a lot. He probably wrote this psalm. We don't know it for sure, but he wrote a lot of them. So what we're going to point out tonight is just how faith becomes so crazy awesome, all right, and where faith gets so incredibly important, all right? And and how it looks here. Psalm 57, verse 4, David was in a lot of trouble, all right? And so if your life isn't perfect tonight and you're facing some challenges or some difficulties or some struggles or some trials or some storms, then this is going to minister to you, all right? If not, then you sit there and chill. When the storms do hit, you'll have this revelation as well. It all comes from Psalm 57. We'll look in verse 4, and this is what he was facing. He said, I'm surrounded by fierce lions. Now here he's being metaphorical. By fierce lions, he's really talking about people. How many of you know some lions sometimes walk on 2 feet? All right, and that's what he's dealing with. Who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, all right? That's the way they talked back then. Nobody talks that way now. We'd think they're weirdos. But he said they pierce like spears and arrows, whose tongues cut like swords. Whose tongues cut like swords, all right? If you want to know where faith gets incredibly important, David opens up right away and tells us, if you want to know when faith is at its most important, where you need faith the most in your life, here it is. You need faith the most, and we need faith all the time, but you really need it when you're facing trouble. Somebody say amen. You really need it when you're going through a struggle, when you're going through a test, when you're going through a trial, all right? Faith is most needed when you're going through some stuff, when you're going through some difficulties, all right? And remember, we need it all the time. The Bible says we live by faith, not we have faith on Sundays or not we have faith when it's just necessary. No, we live by faith. So there should be a faith growing every single day. But whenever you are under pressure and stuff is flying at you from all directions, or maybe the bottom is just coming out, or maybe you just heard a really awful report, and in those, it's in those moments where you really, really need to have a faith in God. And it's also in those moments where the faith you do have in God comes out, where we really see what's happened in your life, where we really see what you're believing, where we really see where your faith is in, who you're really trusting in life. It's in those moments, all right, when we go through those difficult situations, right? James said this. Remember James, he said, count it all joy when you go through difficult situations, all kinds. I've always thought that was kind of silly. Like, James, why would you say count it all joy when I'm going through junk? That just does not make sense to my mind to be happy and joyful when I'm going through the worst moments in life, all right? What's going on, Josh? You look so happy. My life sucks. That makes absolutely no sense, right? No sense at all. James said, count it all joy. Why? I'll tell you why, all right? James would know why, all right? Because that means at the moment where you're at your weakest or your lowest, if you have a faith in God, God is about to show himself at his greatest and his biggest. So he says, be joyful, anticipate, look for the power of God to come through your life right now because God's about to show up. Count it all joy. That's when you need faith the most. So David says, I am surrounded. I'm not just dealing with one naughty little kitty. I'm surrounded by fierce lions who are talking smack about me, all right? And now let me point something else out while I'm thinking about it. David was not some jerk, some heathen who hated God. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. David was a godly man, all right? He wasn't a perfect man, but he was devoted to God. He was. And he's in this mess, surrounded by people who he's calling fierce lions, who are using their tongue like snakes, like venom, like swords. Verse 6, my enemies have set a trap for me, and I am weary from distress. I love David's honesty. They have dug a deep hole, a deep pit in my path. So again, he's speaking more metaphorically, all right? He's facing pressure that is unbelievable. He is dealing with so much right now. Lions that he's comparing to people with sharp teeth, spears, arrows, cutting like swords. You ever have anybody say something so nasty about you that it cuts? And it's the kind of thing that when they say something about you or they post something about you, that it doesn't just hurt initially, it keeps on hurting. It hurts for a while. That you sitting there and you'll be at home. There are people who've said mean things to me. As a preacher's kid, I've had so many crazy things said to me. When I'm old and it don't matter anymore, I'm going to write a book and name all these people. All right? I'm just joking. I'll change their names. But I'm gonna do it. I'm going to get them. All these mean things. And there are days where it'll be triggered. You know what I'm talking about, preacher's kid. It'll be triggered, and you'll sit there, and you thought you got over it, and you dealt with it. You know, too, preacher's kid. You get over it, all right? And then all of a sudden, something triggers, and you're like, oh. And it just, oh, my gosh, it hurts all up. No, you have to fight it off. This is what David's dealing with here, and he's weary from distress. This hurts. All right, we've all dealt with some kind of pain, some kind of, you know, where somebody's hurt us, or David says they've set a trap. They had schemes and plans to take him out, all right? They want to take David down. Now, we don't know exactly what era this is with David, all right? We don't know that for sure, but it's likely written when maybe Saul was against him, and Saul is coming after him, and he was jealous, and he's chasing him, and he's trying to kill him. Because that's exactly what David was dealing with here, all right? So David is going, this is not good. I'm going through some awful things. But see, it's also in that exact moment where David's faith begins to rise up. And he begins to speak that faith out, and it shows. And if you are a person of faith, it's also for you in that moment. When you are dealing with a difficult situation where your confession and what you believe should come out of you. All right? It's in that moment. That's how I can tell as a pastor. I'm going to give you a little inside trick. As a pastor, that's how I can tell whether somebody's in faith or somebody's in doubt. All right? Because I get on Facebook and I'll see people posting about all their horrible things they're going through. And I'm going, dear God, got to get them in faith. A lot of times I'll send them a message with a scripture in it, something positive, or I'll text them, or I'll call them, or something. Some of y'all will encourage them because they've got to get that turned around. Because when the pressure's on and the attacks come, what's in you will come out, and you better have some faith down on the inside. David had some faith down on the inside, all right? When we get into a negative situation and it feels like everything from every direction is against us, maybe you're not going through the worst of worst, all right? Maybe you're just going through a difficult moment. Maybe it's just a rough hour of a rough day. I don't know. It could be a number of things, all right? But in those moments, whether it's financial, whether it's personal, whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, or you just things are bothering you, getting on your nerves, okay? When you're going through that in that moment, listen, and let me remind you, God is not the cause of those problems. Let me remind you of that. God is not the source nor the cause of those problems. The Bible says that there's a devil loose. There's an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy your life. So he never rests. He's always trying to take you down. He's always trying to steal your salvation so that you die. That's what he's wanting. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And the Bible says we've got to be weary of that. We've got to understand of that. All right? But it's in those moments. God is not the cause of your problems. But let me also say this. God will also not miss a great opportunity for your faith to be developed. He's not putting you through the mess, but God absolutely, absolutely will take advantage of a moment over a struggle that you're going through so that you can grow in your faith. He absolutely will. Because why? Faith pleases God. Not only does it please him to see you living by faith, it pleases him to bless you through faith, to see you through it by faith. That's how God works, all right? And a lot of people struggle with this, but let me remind you, even in this faith church, that God's perfect plan and will for you would never and will never be a plan that allows you to live your life without him. And see, I have an issue with this. I think a lot of believers, especially in the charismatic church, they want a life so blessed that it doesn't need God. I want to be so blessed and so wealthy that everything's paid for and everything's covered for and everything's worked out and there's never a problem in my life and God's so good and I don't need him anymore. That'll never happen. That is not how faith works. And there are a lot of blessed people. David was a blessed man. David was king. That's pretty blessed. But nobody's exempt. Not in this life. All right? If you are alive and you are breathing tonight, then guess what? You're in faith school. And nobody gets to skip class. You're going to grow in your faith or you're not. You're either going to please God through your faith or you're going to displease God with your lack of faith. Nobody is exempt from that. And you got to learn that right away. God is never going to be, he's never going to allow a believer to live their life absent of God's power, absent of God. No, that's why he created us, so we could live by faith and we could grow in a relationship with him. That's how this works, all right? So he wants to develop that faith in us. Without faith, remember, it's impossible to please him, all right? And if everything is always smooth and there's never any bumpy roads and you never have any hurdles to jump and you never have any obstacles, you never have any struggles, all right, then how will you even know you have faith? You wouldn't even know you have faith until you're in a fight. That's why Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. He wouldn't tell you to fight a good fight unless he knew there'd be a fight. And of course, my dad always taught me a good fight is the kind of fight that you win. All right? Fight the good fight of faith. All right? He's saying you got to develop your spiritual muscles. And there's too many believers that have weak spiritual muscles. And in order to develop muscles, you know what you need? A little bit of resistance. You got to have a little resistance, and that's life. All right? And so he says you got to have a fight. I was reading the other day where the Apostle Paul, remember, he sent messengers to other churches to check on their spirituality. And what he said was, I sent them to check on you to see how your faith was growing. I thought that was so interesting that Paul sent messengers. Nobody asks that anymore. When people ask how New Life Church is doing, they're really wanting to know how our facilities are. They're wanting to know about our technology, if we've got cool lights. They're wanting to know how many people are coming. How's your church? Is it growing? Is it big? Is it small? Is it huge? Is it, you know, is it cool? Do you have nice furniture? Do you have nice things? That's what people want to know when it comes to church, right? Nobody asks questions like, how's the faith of the people at New Life Church? I don't hear questions asked like that anymore. Now, almost never really have, all right? No one talks about that. Well, happy. Most people come on Sundays and we're happy. No! That's not enough. That's not the right answer. How is your faith? Let me tell you something. My father, Pastor Darrell, my mother, Bonnie, me, my wife, Megan, the leadership of this church, all the pastors in this church, you want to know what we're interested in? You want to know why there's a spiritual discipline and a spiritual authority in this church? You want to know why when we see people who are not living by faith, we step in immediately and do what we can, even if it means there is a bit of spiritual discipline? It's because what we want for you more than anything, if you're a part of this church, is for you to live by faith. Because if you're living by faith, you're not pleasing Josh. You're not pleasing Pastor Darrell. You know who you're pleasing? God. And if you're pleasing God, God's blessing your life. That's why you go to New Life Church, if I'm being honest, because there's a spirit of faith in this place, and you got people who care about that spirit of faith being alive and active in your life. That's what matters. That's what matters to us, is your faith growing, all right? So David's dealing with this mess, all right? Well, what does faith do in this moment? What does David's faith do in this moment? We've got the background, we've got the setup, all right? Real quick, and I'm going to take just about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe, we'll see how it goes, each on these points that I'm going to list here. Here's what faith does. We're going to go back to verse 1 of Psalm 57. The first words before David even describes what he's going through, verse 1, this is what he says. He says, have mercy upon me, God. Have mercy. He says, I am looking to you for my protection. I'm going to hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger or the storm passes by. Have mercy, God. I am looking to you for my protection. I'm looking to you for my safety. I'm going to hide beneath your wings until the danger passes by. Here's the first thing about faith that I want to talk about tonight. When you and I are living by faith and the storms and the struggles and the trials or the test hits and they hit hard, and listen, there could possibly be a moment for some of us because the storm is so tough and the storm is so raging where we think, I can't take it anymore. Anybody been there? I can't deal with this anymore. This is crazy. I'm done. Done, and I leave. Can't do that, can you? But this is where David's at. We feel like, I can't take it, all right? Listen, it's at those moments, if you're living by faith, you won't break down mentally. You won't break down spiritually. You won't break down emotionally. You won't get discouraged because why? First point is this. God promises you that you can hide in him in those moments. That's so powerful. He says, you can hide in me. See, faith tells me that there is always a place, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, in God, where he will take his massive divine wings and cover me, protect me, hide me if necessary, but make sure that I am safe, all right? And listen, David, during this time, David was hiding in caves. He was hiding, doing whatever he could to escape death and escape traps. And the Bible teaches us here that this is so much better than hiding in caves, because guess what? You can get trapped in a cave, but you can never get trapped in God. He's always got the ability to release you and to make sure that not only are you safe, that you're free. So faith tells us this. And you know what? Unbelievers, people who aren't saved, they'll laugh at this. All right? They'll mock this. They don't believe this. All right? How can you be hidden by someone you can't even see? How can you be hidden by something you can't see? How's God going to hide you, okay? And, I've told people this. You can hide with your money. You can hide with your jobs. I even know people who hide in their homes, turn out the lights, and just zone out and veg out and do what they got to do, all right? And none of that will bring you freedom. None of that will bring you peace. None of that will. None of that will do anything about the storm that you're facing and dealing with in your life, all right? David says, no, I'm not going to hide in my money. I'm not going to hide in these caves. I'm going to hide in God. He says, I can't take this storm. And let's just be honest, there are some storms that you can't handle, all right? You know, Jesus, when he dealt with the storm, when they were crossing over the sea and he says, we're going to go to the other side, the Bible teaches that Jesus spoke peace to that storm. And the storm stopped. So I know that there are times in our life as a believer where the storm is tough and it is raging and waves are crashing and life is hard. And Jesus will speak peace to that storm. All right? And the storm calms down. How many of you are thankful for those times where God calms the storms? But see, I also know according to this that there are times where God doesn't speak peace to the storm. He speaks peace to you. And he hides you. That means the storm is going to continue, but you're going to be safe. That means the storm is going to continue. There might be danger, but he's going to hide you. So you're going to make it. Either way, God is pleased by your faith. This is what David was dealing with. There's a place in God where he can cover me, protect me, where my mind won't go nuts and my emotions won't be bonkers and I won't be losing it and I won't immediately want to get on Facebook and just trash people and talk about stuff, all right? I'll be covered by his wings. I'll be in the peace of Almighty God because he's covering me. If that sounds awesome to somebody, say amen tonight. I love this. He'll cover me, all right? People who don't have faith or even believers who don't live by faith, they don't know about this place, this secret place. They don't know about it. Isn't that a shame to be a believer following God and not know about this place? You know what they know? They know struggle. They know worry. They know frustration. They know bitterness. They know complaining, all right? And you got to catch yourself. If the moment the storm hits and the struggle hits, if you start to complain, you're not pleasing God. And you are removing yourself from his covering. That's why the moment that storm hits, David said, have mercy on me, God. I look for your protection. Started immediately speaking that faith. Started immediately going to God, all right? This place, again, it's only in God here, all right? Does it mean when we're hidden by God that the problems just go away? No. They're still out there. There's still danger out there. Which means while God's covering you, you got to stay in faith, all right? This isn't just a moment. This is a life that you're living by faith, all right? This isn't just a Sunday you live by faith or a dangerous moment that you need. This is a life lived by faith, and that's a big difference, and that's a big key that you got to understand. God is hiding you. He's protecting you, okay? And I'm just telling you, if you're in a storm, maybe you're watching online, if you are in a storm tonight, the best place to be is not in church right away. The best place to be is not immediately at this altar, although this is a great place to be. You know where the best place to be is? It's in the presence of God right where you're at. Because there's going to be a moment where you're going to be hit with a storm and you can't come to church. And you can't come kneel at this altar. So you better be able to activate your faith where you're at in that moment. Because God can hide you, cover you, shelter you, protect you, no matter where you're at, what you're going through, or where you're headed. He can be there. He will be there. That's not an anti-church talk. That's more of a put your faith in Jesus, all right? Put your faith, don't put your faith in Josh. I know Josh real well. He's got his own problems. Put your faith in Jesus. That's what this is all about, all right? And let me tell you something else. You can't escape your problems. I know a lot of people who run. And it seems to be, I'll be honest, it's an instinct when you are facing a fear to run. Think about this. If you are taking a walk through a jungle or a forest or even a path and you hear a lion roar, what are you going to do? You're gone. I'm out, all right? I'm out. And if me and you are walking, all I got to do is run faster than you. I'm sorry. I would help you. I'm serious. All right. And that's why you can't change locations. A lot of people think that they can change locations and it'll escape their problems. Listen, Hawaii won't fix your problems. Florida won't fix your problems. All right. If you got problems, guess what? They're with you, and they're going wherever you go, all right? You can't run from it, but God can cover you. He can shelter you, all right? So you've got a hiding place. That's number one. Verse 2, David said, I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me, all right? The other thing, and the one thing that's unique about faith is this, faith always prays. Faith always prays. All right, always praise. Faith will always point you towards God, towards his word. Always. There will never be a moment where if you are facing a struggle or a situation where your faith will pull you from God or God's word. All right? That's why when people say, you know, I'm struggling because I don't feel convicted, and their conviction is based on an opinion or on a lifestyle choice and not on God's word, I know at that moment they're not living by faith. Because faith will always filter every decision, always point you through God's word to God. Always. There'll never be a moment where he doesn't point you to God's word. So faith always prays. I don't care how negative it looks. If you are living by faith in that moment, you won't complain, you won't gossip, you won't fuss, you will pray. And you will pray through faith, all right? In that moment, you are going to look up and you are going to say, God, I need you. Dude, who are you staring at? That's the ceiling. What are you doing? No, I'm looking up where my source comes from, all right? I'm looking up. I need help from God. And so I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. I'm looking up. I am praying, and I'm releasing my faith. Why? Because I have a Heavenly Father, the Bible teaches, who loves me. And faith pleases him. And so I'm going to do in that moment what is most difficult to do. I'm going to not respond by complaining or fussing or struggle. I'm going to respond with joy, and I'm going to respond in prayer, and I'm going to respond in praise, and I'm going to respond in worship. I'm going to respond in speaking the word of God, and it's going to be tough to do in that moment because everything in my body, everything in my mind, and everything in my emotions is going to be screaming, don't do that, okay? Do what fixes you. Run from the lion. Run from the fear. Run from the enemy. Do what you got to do, all right? But in that moment, I'm going to respond through faith because faith pleases God, and I want my Father's blessing. I want my Father pleased, all right? Faith always prays. That's why anytime you show up to church on a Wednesday night, you're not wasting your time. Don't ever let the enemy one day whisper to you it is a wasted time to come to church because you're just going to hear another faith message. Don't you dare let the enemy speak that to you for a moment. There is never wasted time when you are growing in your faith in the Lord because there is going to be a moment where a storm's going to hit and you're not in church. And you better have a faith. You better have a word from God in that moment, all right? Faith always prays, all right? Faith says, I can always pray. I can always pray at any moment because God is waiting on me. And he's the one who said, ask, seek, knock, and you'll receive. That was Jesus' word to us. Ask, seek, and knock. If you'll ask, you'll seek, you'll knock, I'll answer. I'll open that door. I'll be there for you. There's never going to be a moment where I leave you or forsake you. I'm always with you. So faith always prays. It always points towards God, all right? You're never wasting your time when you're praying, all right? Verse 3, David said this, God is going to send help from heaven. God is going to send help from heaven. So even in this moment, David is declaring that God's going to come through. He's seeking God. He knows where to look. Help coming from heaven. He's looking up. He's looking up in this moment, all right? Show me a believer who has faith, and I'll show you a believer who's praying and speaking that faith. Show me a church that has faith, and I'll show you a church that is praying and speaking their faith, all right? That is looking up as their source, all right? But show me a ministry or show me someone who doesn't pray, then I'll also be able to show you someone who does not have faith. They might have hope, but they don't have faith, right? And there's a big difference. And I don't care what people, there's a lot of people who want to get into big, deep discussions about theology, and they want to talk about the 5 points of Calvinism and all this kind of stuff, or Arminianism and all this stuff. And if you have questions about that, ask Elder Tony Hodge, because he'll explain all that in real depth, all right? He'll teach a class on it, and you'll learn way more from him you ever would from me, because he's excellent in that. But you know what? God's like, listen. It's not about your mental doctrines. It's not about your theological difference, all right? When you have faith, faith comes and approaches God in a childlike way, through a childlike faith, through a childlike prayer. God, I need you. So simple, but yet so powerful. And the Bible says that pleases God, our Father in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Kingdom come, will be done. Such a simple prayer, but so powerful that Jesus prayed as an example for us. But if you have faith, you are going to be a person who prays. Again, we see in verse 3 that God sends help from heaven, all right? That means this. You don't need help from the government as much as you need help from heaven. That means you don't need help from a person as much as you need help from who? God. As you need help from heaven. That's what you need. How many of you learned this the hard way, that people will let you down? The government will let you down. But you know who won't ever let you down? God. He'll never let you down. That's why you place your faith in him. He sends help from heaven, greater than any kind of help you can get on earth, all right? But how does it come? It comes through crying out to God, through praying, opening your heart. That's what faith does. You know, faith gets emotional sometimes. I know we want people to be robotic and automatic in church, but faith gets emotional sometimes. That's why it drives me nuts when we'll be in a service and there's somebody who's worshiping God, and they'll come forward and they'll pray and they'll be weeping. You'll be beside somebody and they're just really getting into it. And there are times where I'll look around and I'll see somebody giving them a stink eye. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Faith, it's okay to, in your faith, get emotional sometimes. All right? If anything, if you're giving somebody a stink eye because they're getting emotional, what are they doing all that for? What are they going through that for? Why do they have to do that for? What are they acting like that for in church? I look at them like, what that tells me as a pastor who's been in it for a while is that tells me you got a lack of faith. That's an indicator. Because you're in that moment, you're not worshiping God, you're judging somebody else for worshiping God. And also, by the way, you don't know what they went through to be here. You don't know their journey. You don't know what God had to do for them in order for them to be standing there worshiping with the tears streaming down their face. Don't know a thing. Faith laughs. Faith cries. Faith rejoices. Faith does so many. Faith is emotional. It's okay. And there are moments where you've got to have faith with no emotion. There are some times where your emotions are a train wreck and your faith is coming from the Spirit and activating through, you know, through your spirit to God. But then there are times where you're just emotional and it's okay. That's why when you see people laughing, let them laugh in faith. When you see them crying, let them cry in faith. As long as it's in faith, it's pleasing God and they're getting their blessing. Somebody say amen. All right. My goodness, people cry at weddings. People cry at commercials. I go to track meets. We are at like a track meet every other night. And I see parents screaming at their kids. And you know what? Their kids are slow and aren't going to win. And they are screaming for their kids as if they just won the Olympics. Yeah! Yay! And they're like so far last. I'm like, yay! It don't matter. It's their kid. They love them. And I think that somebody comes to church and gets a little bit happy and everybody's like, what's wrong with him? Get over it. Let a little charisma come out in the charismatic church every once in a while. All right? Clap those hands. Let those tears flow. Shout to God. Praise him loud. Yes, there are moments where you need to whisper prayers. But if you're going through a storm, dear God, don't you dare walk into this church and be afraid to scream and cry out to God. And if somebody looks at you cross-eyed, listen, faith says, I don't care. I'm getting to God whether you like it or not. Get in his presence. Lord, have mercy. And then that's why faith is so attractive. All right, when you see somebody who's living by faith, listen, we got all kinds of people who are negative, people who are up one day, down the next, people who are speaking their faith and they're mighty before God, and the next day they're posting about how depressed they are. Like, give me a break. Those people are not living by faith, okay? Those people are roller coaster faith, all right? Up and down, up and down. Faith goes from glory to glory. What that means is this. That doesn't mean you don't have down days, but it means that instead of getting there and complaining or telling everybody how depressed you are so you draw attention to yourself, you are first going to God with those issues. And there's a big difference. A lot of people just want sympathy, all right? We are a week and a half away from celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the day where we celebrate the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And I'm telling you right now, too many people are satisfied with resuscitation. They don't want to be brought back to, they don't want to have a new life. They just want their old life to be resuscitated. Let me keep doing what I'm doing and keep me alive and keep me beating. Now, Jesus came to bring you new life. That means the old one's got to die. That's the power of resurrection. I'm not preaching my message, I'm preaching somebody else's now. All right. So faith not only hides, it prays. All right, he sends faith, he sends his help down from heaven. David said in verse 3, he'll send his help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send his unfailing love and faithfulness. He'll send his help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. Are they still hounding him? Yeah, but you know what? It won't be for long. It won't last forever. It won't continue forever because he's sending help from heaven. He says, my God will send help. He will send, not I hope he'll send or maybe he'll send or there's a potential that God comes through and says, no, my God will send. All right? This is, it's almost like he's bragging. How many of you really, I mean, let's be honest, people who brag get on your nerves, don't they? They really do. It's kind of annoying when people brag. All right? That's why the Bible says if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord, all right? If you boast on everything else, people are like, ugh, you're so annoying. But if you'll boast in the Lord, God goes, yeah, yeah. That's what David's doing here. He's bragging. He's boasting on his God coming through him because God is faithful. So David, he's got a little swag going right now, and he's saying, my God is going to help me. Not only did he hide me during the storm, and not only is he coming through, I'm praying and I'm seeking him, but I also know that my God is sending his help right now. And so he knows. That's why in that moment, David has a joy. That's why even through the panic, God has covered him, healing him, protecting him, taking care of him, all right? Are the lions and is the enemy still out there? Yeah, they are. They're still talking, they're still nasty, they're still dangerous. All that is still out there. But David knows that my God has sent help. So it's just a matter of time before I'm delivered. That's the faith that God wants us to have, all right? Faith has the ability to turn a situation around. And there are too many people who are not living by faith. I see too many people that will crumble when a bee flies by. Or they got a mosquito or a spider, and they can't live by faith. All right, they're not living by faith. And I don't mean like a physical mosquito. I mean just something spiritual attack comes by, and they're like, oh, no, and they start freaking out. All right, faith will turn you from somebody who is weak and pathetic when little tiny attacks come into someone who can face a giant. You can stand in front of a gigantic mountain, a gigantic problem with you and your little old self and say, my God will come through. That's what faith does. That's what David encountered here, all right? God given him that faith, all right? That's why you've got to learn to develop the faith muscles. How do we develop those faith muscles, all right? You've got to have some resistance. You've got to have some discipline. That's why you've got to be faithful to stay in the Word of God. That's why you've got to be faithful to stay and spend time with God. That's why you're going to go through this life and you're going to face some struggles. You're going to deal with some difficulties. You're going to deal with some situations. Some of it is because the enemy is out there attacking. Some of it is because we stopped living by faith and made poor decisions. But either way, you're dealing with some resistance. So in that moment, apply that faith. Trust God through it. And remember, He will hide you while you're praying. God will answer. And then also, He sends His help. He sends His help. He promises us to send our help because He knows that through faith is how we please Him. Through faith is how the blessing and the power of God is released. All right? All right, well, Pastor Josh, I'm praying right now. I'm believing right now. But are you praying through faith? All right? If you're praying for something right now, but you have not based it on a word from God, a scripture in this word, then you need to start over. You need to get in this word and you need to get a word. And I don't just mean, right here. No, that's not what I'm talking about, okay? If you have to Google search topics so you can find that word from God, one of them is going to, you're going to read it and you're going to speak it out, but then it's going to speak back. And it's not just your head speaking back. That's the Holy Spirit of God speaking back into your heart saying, that's the word you stand on. That's the word I'm wanting to release in your life. And then when you begin to pray and release your faith, it's based on God's word. It's based on a foundation. It's based on a strength. So you're speaking it, all right? And if you have been speaking a word, well, Pastor Josh, I've been standing in faith and I'm standing on the word of God. Then wait for it. It's coming. The answer is coming in the name of Jesus. You wait for it. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. Don't you slow down. Don't you get weary. Don't you allow the enemy to say, well, it's not happened yet. It never will happen. It may not have happened, but that doesn't mean it's not going to. God will come through. He promised in His word He will. He will. So you stand strong and you don't yield in the name of Jesus, all right? The big question, I'm going to close with this, that every one of us have to ask and answer every single day, did I live today by faith? Did I live today by faith? Am I living my life by faith? My prayer is for every single person in this church, whether you are new or you've been coming for years, is that you live by faith and that we live by faith more now than we ever have. Than we ever have, all right? I want to walk in His safety. I want to walk in His protection. I want my prayers to be prayers of faith for my family, for my children, prayers of faith for my church, for my life, for my health, for my finances. I want any time I'm talking to God, I want it to come through faith. Because I want every aspect and part of my life to please God. Will I do this perfectly? No. No. But that's what I'm striving for. And that's my prayer and my hope for every single one of us in this church, is that we are growing and living by faith.